While the expedition kids are going, that's our first two fifth graders, two crazy things has happened in the last week. One, I don't know if you realize this, Joe showed us a video of the Christ followers on the Philadelphia Eagles football team, and I think it caused them to win the Super Bowl. So, maybe. Also, our high school football team, I did see a couple of them, but they didn't get back till after midnight. Our youth group goes to Johnson University in Kissimmee. We've been playing in this little football tournament that they put together for a while. And since most of them are sleeping, I don't mind saying out loud, is that this year's team wasn't as talented as last year. We won a championship last year. That was exciting, and we had a bunch of good football players. This year, we had a bunch of kids that love Jesus and have a lot of heart. And Joe and Eli took them down, and they won again. So I was impressed, and maybe next week we'll put a video together to show you what's going on. So, also, the Tide commercials were awesome. Anyway, I'm just saying random things, so let's refocus and pray, and we'll read God's Word together. Heavenly Father, prepare our minds to receive from you today. Soften our hearts. God, we ask for your wisdom. We ask that every time that we open your word and concentrate on you, that we move one step closer to you. And thank you for your son. We'll pray all this in his name. Amen. We're winding down our The God That Wants You to Know Him series. We're not done yet. Today, we're going to cover a gracious and giving God. But I hope you realize that the more that you pursue God, the more that you study him, the more time that you spend, the closer that you do become to him. And so if you missed some of the series, it's been a really good one. They're all available on the website. You could go back to the very beginning when we talked about God and his power, God and his love, his mercy, his majesty was one of my favorite ones from a few weeks ago. The fact that God is all-knowing, always truthful, always near, that he always guides. It has been a good series. And so today we're going to take it kind of in two parts, although I think we're going to see that they are very similar. When you think of a gracious person, you might think of a person that is kind or courteous or pleasant. In the Bible, the word gracious means a little something different. It means to give divine grace. In fact, you can see the word grace hiding there in the front of the word. But it's grace of a divine nature. We might give grace to our children or to someone, but this is the grace that God gives. And so when God shows favor or mercy to someone, this is an example of his graciousness. Because he is in a superior place of position and power, and he's willing to show this to us, to people of a place of inferior position or power, that is an example of God's graciousness. So the Bible is filled with stories, and my first idea was to give you five or six quick versions of many of the examples of God's graciousness. Couldn't do it. It would have been 4 or 5 weeks worth of sermons, and so I decided to pick one, and then when I realized that it's one of my favorites, when Moses receives the Ten Commandments, which sounds like is a single event that I could explain in just a couple of minutes, but it's about 16 chapters in Exodus. So let us all read the 16 chapters together this morning so we can get a full grasp. Anyway, in your bulletin, there is a little notes that you can follow along with. I showed them to you. I also brought a little help. If you give me 2 minutes, 30 seconds of your time, I think we'll be all pretty close to understanding the story.
The Israelites set out on a long desert journey back to their homeland. God guided them with a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day. As the Israelites set up camp at the base of Mount Sinai, a dark cloud covered the mountaintop. Thunder boomed and lightning filled the sky. Terrified, the people backed away from the mountain. But Moses climbed up into the dark cloud. The ground began to shake, and God spoke to Moses from a blazing fire on the mountaintop. Here is how my people should live. Don't worship anything but me. Don't misuse or disrespect my name. Set aside a day each week to rest and worship me. Honor your parents. Don't murder, steal, or lie. Live purely and faithfully. Don't lust after someone else's spouse or their possessions. When Moses told the people these commands, they said, "We'll do everything God said." On the mountaintop, God gave him stone tablets detailing the laws and commands inscribed by God's own finger. When Moses returned to their camp, he found the Israelites in a wild party, worshiping a golden idol they made. The people said, "We want to follow a God that we can see." Burning with anger, Moses threw the tablets, breaking them into pieces. Then he ground their idol into powder, mixed it with water, and made them drink it. Moses begged God to forgive his people. God said to him, "I'm full of compassion and love and slow to get angry. If my people obey my commands, then I'll show my power through them." After giving Moses a new set of tablets, God said, "Build a special place for me to live among the people I love." So Moses gathered the very best craftsmen and built a sacred tent called a tabernacle in the center of their camp. When God was present inside the tent, a cloud appeared above it during the day and a pillar of fire at night. When the cloud moved, the people followed and continued their long journey back to their homeland.
All right. Because I never want to be the guy that just says, "You all know the story of the Ten Commandments." That's close. Now, again, that was the animated version. It gives you the basics. Let me fill in some of the blanks. The Israelites always turned away from God. It's just the pattern that they did, even though God chose them. They were slaves in Egypt. They were whipped and beaten to encourage them to make bricks faster and to build more buildings for the Egyptian empire. Moses came through God's power, and the plagues is what convinced Pharaoh to release the Israelites from Egypt. Again, can't get into that story, but they finally get released, and it wasn't just an easy, "You can go now." There's a chase, a bigger story. This happened 3 months later. So our story today takes place. They had already seen God's power through the plagues. They'd already been rescued by God. And still, they find themselves at the base of Mount Sinai, where God had descended to lightning, thunder, so they could see God's presence. They could feel the trembling. They could hear what was going on. That makes it pretty real. And so when Moses was called up, he said, "Make sure that this is what the Israelites will decide to do, that they will follow everything that I have told them, everything that I have commanded them to do." And so they all say yes. And so Moses goes up to get them. That part was told quite well in the story. Before he came down, he received, it was 40 days and 40 nights. And so in that 40-day period, the Israelites decided that Moses must be dead. God killed him. This is scary. I don't know exactly what they were thinking, but they went to Aaron, kind of second in charge, and said, "We need something else to worship. This isn't working out." And so instead of Aaron stepping up and saying, "No, let's wait 40 more days," he said, "Give me all your gold and we'll make something like we saw in Egypt to worship." So Moses, imagine his embarrassment as he is in God's presence up on the mountain. And God says, "Hey, those wicked people have already started to disobey. And I'm going to burn with anger and I'm going to destroy them." And so Moses makes an appeal upon the behalf of the people and said, "Let me go take care of this." He goes down. You saw the breaking of the tablets. The people were punished, not just by having to drink the idol that they were worshiping, but you'll have to go back and read those chapters in Exodus to see what else happened to them. But Moses got to go back up onto the mountain to receive them for a second time around. By the way, not just Ten Commandments, but many laws, which you can read in those chapters in Exodus. Now, here's where this is why it makes one of my favorite stories. The second time he got to go up was a little different because God said, hey, this time I'm going to let you see me, but you can't see my face because you'll die. Can't really explain that other than he would die if he would see God's face, so that's not good. And he said, so hide in these rocks and I'm going to pass by you. And the story is great, especially when we're talking about this, because as God passes by him, Moses records the word that God says. And so Moses is hiding so that God can get past him and then look at his back, which his interactions with God makes his face glow. That's another part of the story you're going to have to read, and it's awesome. But in Exodus 34, it says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And it sounds like he's describing what just happened there, and he is, but he's also describing the history that he's already had with Israel. He's also kind of describing the way we act towards God sometimes, and we'll get to that in a second. But God basically gives us a list of his characteristics, many of which we've been studying for the past few months, and these words get repeated throughout the Old Testament because we call this a covenant that God made with the Israelites, a promise, a contract. He said, you do these things and I'm going to be your God and you're going to go take back the land that belongs to you. You're going to defeat armies that you could never defeat without me because I'm going to be the one fighting for you. And so the Israelites, who just a day ago started to worship something else, said again, yes, we will obey everything that you said. And God kind of ends up, again, this is Moses quoting what God says. God kind of ends up this story by saying, hey, obey everything that I have commanded you. Obedience is required. So God was gracious to the Israelites. God gave forgiveness. He gave a second chance. He gave the law. And so that kind of leads us into a giving God. This is how they kind of work together in his graciousness or the divine grace. He gives us many things. There's a little section if you read in this week in Exodus, many of those laws where I said some of them don't apply anymore. It was because how the priests would accept sacrifices. And so they'd bring a sacrifice, the priest would cut it, spill its blood, drip it a certain way. There was all these sorts of rules. That's how they had to get their sins rolled back or their sins not thought of. And perhaps today, imagine you bringing in a cow or a goat or a sheep or a bird, and my job being to, you know, do the deed. And I think I would quit because I couldn't handle that. So I'm glad the old covenant ended, and because God is a giving God, that is one of the things that happened. Now, when you think about giving, one of the things that popped into my head was the five love languages. We're not going to talk about them today. Don't know if you're familiar with them, but there's five primary ways that you receive love, and one of them is receiving gifts. And a lot of times we don't like that one because it sounds materialistic, but it's not actually a bad thing because you can feel appreciated and loved when someone is thoughtful enough to give you a meaningful gift. And that's what God has done. He has given us a meaningful gift. And there are many things that God gives us in our day-to-day lives that he doesn't actually get credit for. Like one, the fact that you're alive, that there is two people that came together and the process of childbirth happened and how our system worked, that is a gift on how we're even here today. The fact that today existed and we got to wake up after going to sleep last night and we had to take another breath. There's many things that God doesn't get credit for, but he is the one that provides that. He is the giver. And one of the first Bible verses that I remember memorizing, maybe you know it too, John 3:16 kind of lays this out. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giving God. In fact, he gives in extreme ways to us. What did he give us? He gave us his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When I memorized it, there was a begotten and a believeth in there somewhere, but it's okay. It doesn't matter how you memorize scripture. Just it's good to store this away in your life for times when you need it. God is gracious and giving that he gave his son in the flesh on this earth to be an example for us and to die. And as we just celebrated during our time of communion, that was God's new idea, his new covenant, his new promise. And so the old covenant that Moses established kind of went away, and God, through Jesus' death, reestablishes a new one. Still, lots of similarities to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength, still is the top of the list. Some of the most important things you do. Also, loving your neighbor as yourself. So loving God and loving others is what many of those Old Testament laws were about. And we get to decide whether we want to obey or not. I'm going to flip to Romans. Wow, I took my bookmark off, so I have to do this the real way. Romans. You might beat me. Romans chapter 1. So Paul is writing this letter to the Romans. The churches at Rome, some people that he had hung out with at Rome, and he has this observation in Romans 1. Oh, I also have a slide for it. In Romans 1, 21 through 25, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." So God actually gives us another thing, which kind of makes life problematic, and that's he gives us free will. So in addition to his son, which is the grace that we need to be able to come before him and have our sins forgiven, he also gives us free will to make decisions like the Israelites did. And so we might look at them and say, oh, those people were so silly, but they're not much different than we act today. And so at the end of your notes there, I made a small diagnostic tool with three words. It says the word all, it says the word some, and it says the word nothing. And I want to ask the question, what do we give back in response to God? If you know that God is this mighty and this powerful, but still wants to be this personal in your life, that he gave us his son that can forgive your sins, what is your response to him? Sometimes our response is nothing, and unfortunately, you know that there's a portion of the world that doesn't believe. There's a portion that believed for a time and then decided not to believe for one reason or another. They're mad at God. They feel like some circumstances in their life were caused by God, and so they've turned away. I kind of think of those people that could be right here meeting in churches across the country today that come to church every week and hear God's word, and it doesn't really make anything happen in their life. In fact, that would be like CCW being next to a mountain that's covered by God's presence, and we can feel the rumbling, and we can hear his voice, and we can see the lightning and everything that's happening. And still, we might be scared. We might change our ways for maybe 40 days, and then we find ourselves choosing to live life the way that we want to live life. And so our response to God can be is that we give him nothing. And that seems like that might be a crazy response to give to a powerful God that has given us so much, but it happens. Maybe you fall somewhere into that some range which could be some near the nothing or some near the all. I'll let you figure that out on your own. But maybe you can look back at a time where maybe you were can recognize that you were a bad person and God has changed you. But maybe you still compare yourself to that old person, and although you're way better than you used to be, you've kind of stopped growing. You've stopped moving towards God. Your relationship has kind of stalled out. And so maybe that's caused you to drift, and you're in and out of church. And maybe it's something else. Maybe you put in your time and you didn't see that your efforts were netting you anything. And so you just kind of gave up and started to do what you want. That's that free will part. Again, maybe you've given something to God, a time in your life that hasn't been a description of all of yourself. And if that's one of the person that maybe you're saying, hey, that kind of sounds like me, we exist as a church because we want to help you take that first step. If you feel like you've given nothing, we'd like to let you know what that first step is. We'd love to meet with you. We'd like to get you into a group. We'd like for you to hang around more with us than just on Sunday mornings. If you feel like you could have been a person that has given some things to God, but you know you haven't given everything, maybe there's a part of your life that you just can't give up. We showed you the video about our class focusing on pornography for the guys in the church. We know it's a problem. We don't want to pretend like it doesn't exist, and we want to help you of that, help you make that not be part of your life and replace it with something that God wants you to have in your life. Or maybe we can help with a marriage. We run marriage classes often. Maybe you would like to talk to someone about that. That's why we're here. This is why we exist, to help you with that thing. Maybe you feel like you have given all to God. And some of the words that we would use to describe that is that you have died to yourself. And maybe you've picked up your cross and followed him daily. The dying to self is that you know that before God you are a totally different person, and you have changed, and you have continued to change, because it isn't a one-time event. It isn't a one-time thing where God makes you perfect and you're good. You will continue to work through things. You will continue to learn more, and your relationship with God will become closer. So maybe you've learned to die to self. Maybe you are learning how to remember Jesus on a daily basis, not just each week when we come and take communion, but you remember his sacrifice that forgives you of your sins, and so you don't want to sin. And so you set out your day with that in mind, looking for God in all situations and turning from evil when you encounter it. Maybe that describes who you are. A family came into town for a funeral. It's not how we like to see old friends, but there was a funeral yesterday for Ruth Morrell Jansen, and I know the family's here today. I got to catch up with some of them, and I was talking with Ed Filiator. Some of you might remember them. And he was telling me how his life was before Jesus entered it, and he cared about having a great job so he could have all the money. And he needed the boat and the car, and he loved that lifestyle for a certain amount of time. And then he was introduced to Jesus, and then he just didn't care about those things as much anymore. And he would say his life changed drastically. Except then after a while, he still felt like there were still more things that he could give up. And so maybe there is a second time in his life that he shared when he felt like he even changed more about his life that he didn't realize the first time as he went through a transition, that there is even more that he would give. And so those words were encouraging. I said, hey, look, I think I'm talking about that. And I asked him for permission that I could share that. And so are you growing closer to God? Again, I already said we'd love to help you to do that. If you're not, something's probably wrong with your relationship with him. You should continue to grow closer. And is you getting closer to God making you care more about the world, care about the people around you? These are the things that we will give back to a gracious and giving God. I wanted to share some words, kind of wrapping up here from 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. And if I could tweak one of the words where it says he richly provides, I could say he richly gives us everything for our enjoyment. It tells us what our response to God should be because of all the things that he gives us. It is to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous. God gives us everything. So what are we going to give back to him and his people and the people that are far off from him? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these words. I do love the stories of how you interacted with people in the Old Testament and what it means to us today, but I mostly care about it because we can learn from it and we can make some adjustments in our lives. And when I hear stories about people living generously because they gave you everything, and that because they can point back to their old self because you have transformed their life, I just thank you for becoming real to them. I thank you for the people that you've put in their lives that have been Jesus or spoken Jesus to them. I pray that we grow more as a church to be those people, that we affect this community in a way that people will just know that you are a generous and giving God because of the way that we are living our lives. And again, we won't point to ourselves when that happens, but we will give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Before we head out, we are still making an effort to stay on the same page as far as how Dave Pardue is doing. This was on our prayer line. It was also on Facebook page, but we know that you don't all have that. And so here is a message from Dave and Jan. It says, the word on the street is that Dave was back in ICU. Not so. He progressed to the next level. And I guess it's called telemetry. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds good. He did have a major heart attack a couple of Sunday nights ago, but was right where God needed him to be. He was already in IMCU, so when he coded, the team was right there. They got him stable, and then they put in a new pacemaker last Friday. His numbers are coming back from the hit that his organs took. Again, God has been working upstream and has put people and doctors in our path to help with the recovery process. He is so good. We thank you for honoring the request for no visitors. Dave needs a lot of rest as we recover a few more days in the hospital and then to the front porch. We ask you continue your prayers for us as we walk through this time of trust in the one who knows and loves us better than anyone in the world, the God who wants you to know him. So even God, even Dave from the hospital bed is tying the sermon series into his notes. So I super appreciated that. Hey, don't be in a hurry to go. We are done. There's going to be some people up here that are willing to pray with you. If you do want to know what your next step is to grow closer to God is, we'd love to talk to you about that up front. The cafe is open. Go get something to eat. Don't be in a hurry to run out of here. Find someone that you need to hug or pray with or get to know. Thanks for coming.